It is certainly good to be here with y'all today. How many of you would agree, if you're not careful, the world will get you? You know, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about that when he says, he talks about the devil, and he says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he will devour you. And I think we have seen that happen to people's life has been devoured by Satan. Satan has took their life and turned their life around from what they once were, and they serve Satan the remaining days upon this earth. Worthiness. What is worthiness? Wesley describes worthiness as this. He says, concern for this life, life is distinguished from those of the life to come, interest in secular affairs. Worldly means to belong to this world, not heavenly, and not spiritual. Not heavenly and not spiritual. How many of us today feel like the world has got us? How many of us today feel like the world has got our children, our parents, our spouse? How many of us worry about the world that our children are growing up in? What they will face? What will be involved in their life? The world is powerful. It has so many things to offer us, and we have so many things that we know about the world. We hear about it on TV. We read about it in the paper. We hear it on the radio. We hear about it on the internet. We know of it there. The world just kind of engulfs you, doesn't it? The things that it has to offer. And we see so many people today in the world living as they please, as they want to. They spend their time, their talent, their money with no regard for the spiritual things of this life. First of all, let's talk about this morning about being worldly-minded. I want you to turn with me to Peter, 1 Peter. And Peter talks there about girding up the loins of your mind. That's 1 Peter 1 and 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about girding up the loins of your mind, you guard what goes into your mind. You're careful about what you read, about what you watch, about what you meditate on, because what goes into your mind is what you are. It's the kind of person that you are. In the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if you expect to change your life, you have got to change what goes into your mind. You cannot be worldly-minded. You cannot think on these things in this world. You cannot set your affections on things down here. You've got to change what goes into your mind if you're going to change your life. And if you don't study your Bible, you will not change your life. You will be the same person next year, if you live to see next year, as you are today. So we must change what goes into our mind. Paul talked about, in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, about brethren there being carnally minded. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, did not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with meat. But hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walketh men? Brethren, are we carnal today? Is there among us envy and strife, divisions? And Paul says, if it is, he says, you are carnal because you are still worldly. You're not spiritual. What dominates your thinking? What dominates your meditation? In my humble opinion, one of the most important things about our spiritual life is not just study, but it's meditation. When you're alone, when you're in your car, even when you're around other people, you can meditate on things that are good. Meditate on things that are pure. Meditate on things that are loving. Meditate on things that are just. Meditate on God's Word. And ask you a question, does God's Word ever cross your mind on Monday as you go to church on Sunday? Do you feel like that it don't affect you like it affects other people and you wonder what's wrong? Well, it may well be because you've been worldly-minded. And then there's worldly habits. Now, many of us have things that we're in the habit of doing. And we just do them just by these habits. But there's some things that we will talk about this morning that are worldly habits. What about smoking? Recently in the newspaper, an article was that 300,000 Americans will die this year because of tobacco. That's over 250,000 people. And it went on to say that no telling how many of their lives have been cut short, how many people have suffered from emphysema, from heart disease, because of the use of tobacco. Many years ago, when Sue was still working, this doctor, he's a cancer doctor there at Auburn, Opelika, Dr. Williams. And he talked to him one day about the effects of drugs and alcohol and tobacco. He said, people worry about drugs, and we should. And we worry about alcohol, and we should. He says, but what I worry about is tobacco. He said, you won't believe the people I see that come to me because of the use of tobacco. And he said, there's so many of them I can't do anything for. I can't do anything for. And so the habits that we can pick up, the habits that we can do, such as smoking, such as the use of alcohol, such as the use of drugs, that we know these things are worldly habits. And when you indulge in these things, you're killing yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, Paul says, flee fornication. And fornication is sex between people that aren't married. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Have you ever thought about your body being that the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And friends, how are you going to do that when you're killing yourself? There's some habit that you've got. You say, well, it's not a habit. I can quit any time I want to. It's not as easy as you say it is. It's not as easy. And let me warn you young people today, or anybody else, when you see somebody else that has been taken by some habit, don't ever try it one time. Don't ever try it. You may feel like that you can overcome it, that you won't do you that way, but that's just not the case. And then there is word of speech. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 6, 36 and 37, Jesus says here, as he talks about our words that we say, Matthew 12, 36 and 37, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, this verse is scary. When you think about idle words, he says that not just some of them, he says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And he goes on to say in verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How many of us say idle words? How many times do we say idle words and we wish later on we hadn't said it? You know, when you see people, and you do see people that way, they are quiet people. They don't have a lot to say. And you know, that's the way that's what the Bible teaches us to be. He says, study to be quiet. Think about being quiet. By your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good in the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No corrupt communication. Cursing, swearing, so many words that we may not know what we're saying. When you say, gee whiz, you just curse. G is short for Jesus. You say, gosh, short for God. Habits. We get in the habit of saying things, and we use these words that we don't think. We think very little about. But what we're doing, we're cursing. Notice what he says. He says, that which is good in the use of edifying. Do your words edify other people? I think you've seen people, their words are uplifting. Their words are edifying. Their words are nourishing. And that's what he's talking about here. Here he says, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let's look further in Ephesians, this time chapter 5. And he says, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be what's named among you as becometh saints. And then he says in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now let's read that again, verse 4. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. You've seen that happen where people use words that are not convenient. It may be about a race of people. They're not convenient. That's what it's talking about here. It's talking about dirty stories, jesting, coarse jokes, racial jokes. That's what he's talking about here. They're not convenient. They're not becoming. They are worthy. They should never come out of your mouth. Word of speech. What about a word of style of dress? Do you see that more and more in the church? Where people don't dress becomingly or modestly? In 1 Timothy 2 and 9, Paul says here, for women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Adorn themselves in modest apparel. Do you adorn yourself in modest apparel? You say, well, I do when I come to church. I do when I'm in public. Now, when I go to the beach, or when I go to the swimming pool, or when I lay around in the yard, he says, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Is that hard to do? Is that hard for us to learn today in our world that we live in? Because women are always adorning themselves in modest apparel, do they? You know what else the Bible says in the book of Matthew, Jesus talking there? He talked about in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. He talks here about adultery. He says in verse 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he goes on to say in verse 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And men and women both have obligations here. Women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. And men must not, absolutely must not look at a woman to lust after her. Because Jesus says, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Now we're quick to condemn adultery and all fornication. But what about this, what he's saying right here? Adorn yourself in modest apparel. What about the wordless type of recreation? Now, we don't live like our grandfathers and grandmothers lived, do we? I don't remember even my parents. I don't remember my parents ever taking a vacation. You know, I didn't know we never took a vacation when I was coming up. I just didn't do it. So we don't live that way today. We have all these things to take time off, and when you take a job, a lot of times you want to know, how much vacation do I get? But more than that, we have other things that we do, and we take time off to do. And then when the kids were small, if we went out to eat once a year, it was a big event. You could probably relate to the same thing, and you just didn't do it because you didn't have the money. You just didn't do it. And now we have all kinds of things for recreation. We have all kinds of things to entertain ourselves. We have radios in the cars. We got radios in our home. We got television in the home. We got the internet. We got all kinds of things to give us recreation. Well, what kind of recreation do we really have? Do we enjoy? What about educating movies? Well, in the privacy of my home, I don't see anything wrong with that. You read on the Bible what it says in Revelation about those that are lost? And it says the whoremongers. You read that? The whoremongers. And do you believe a Christian person could go down here and purchase a movie that's not fit to be seen, and it's R or X rated, whatever it is, and take it in the home? You think you're not going to be affected by that? Sure you are. You're talking about sin. That is sin. That is for money. How do you think you could have a mind that you should have if you serve the Lord with something like that on your mind? Something like you're watching. Well, that gambling. The Bible instructs us to work with our hands. What about dancing? What does that do? Causes passion, doesn't it? Causes lustful desires, sexual lust. All these things are recreation. All these things are the world. All these things we need to realize what we're doing is it appeals to the unwholesome fleshly appetites. That's what it appeals to. And that's what we're doing. And we must refrain from those things. You know, John tells us, love not the world, neither the thing that's in the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He says, don't love the world. He says, these things are of the world. He says, don't love the world. Love the thing that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, which is sexual lust. The lust of the eyes is what you're wanting, is what you're desiring. And then the pride of life. When you have these things, you look on many times as pride. And you tell others about what you have and what you've accumulated. What about a word career? What do you tell your children? Say they're going to college right now and you know they're soon to graduate. What would you tell them? Where would you tell them to find a job? What is the number one priority when you start out in life as an adult? What's the number one priority? It's God. It's God. Everything. Everything revolves around God. It should in our life, everything revolves around God. And the first thing you're going to do is, when you're going to go and find a job somewhere, is there a lawyer church there? Or I'm just going to be kind of left out to our own self. You say, we're living in a home. Well, that's well and good if you'll do that. But it's going to be hard to do that. And so when you look for a career, what about the church? What about the Lord's Word? When you pursue a career, what's some other things you would want to do? Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be selling alcoholic beverages. I wouldn't want to be driving a truck for them, would you? You think that'd be the thing to do? You think that'd be the job that you want to have? What about being, what if you could be a movie star? What if you had the looks or the talent or whatever it is to be a movie star? What if your child had the looks or the ability to be one? Would you want him to be one? And it might make a lot of money. That's right. It may be well known. So many times we look at people like that, their lives aren't a good example, are they? They led away. So think about what you're going to do with your life as you get grown, as you get older. Is this the right job for me? Is this the right career for me? Does this job keep me from going to church? Does this job keep me from worshiping as I believe the Bible directs me to? There's so many things to think about. Let me tell you this. You always put God first and will always work out for you. You know, David said years ago, I've been young, I'm that old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed dead in bread. And you may not have the most or the best. But that's what's important is the life after this life. Say your child goes to school until they're 20 years old. And then they work until they're 65. What are we talking about? 45 years, aren't we? From 20 to 65. And we send them to school for these many years to prepare for just these few years, the 45 years. But then what about eternity? That's what's going to be so long. It won't be 45 years. It will be forever. And that's what they must be prepared for. That's what we must be prepared for, is for eternity. What about our secular interests? And the Bible tells us in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That may be your home. That may be your business. That may be your career. And what it means to be is to be more interested in the possessions of this world and the spiritual things of Christianity. We see people here with no time for God. But I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like you to be real honest with yourself. When is the last time that you tried to improve your spiritual skills? Now, we talked a while ago about our children going to school. But once they get a job, they still got to improve their skills on their job. In fact, that company many times sends them to school so they can improve their skills and be a better employee. And we know ourselves how we work at things, how hard we work at things to have more money. And we improve the skills and we're able to do it better. In fact, when I was in high school, I worked in the cotton mill there in Houston. I'd work like a, say I'd get out of school at 2 o'clock and work till 6 o'clock. Sometimes work the full shift, work till 10 o'clock. But anyway, what we call a split shift. And I would go down to that cotton mill and work, and those men and women down there had worked there so long, and they were so much more efficient than me of doing that job. And you know, I've never been in the workforce like that. Me at 16 years old. And it just amazed me how fast they were as they adult those frames and take those screws off putting another one on. How efficient they were. And that's just a small example of how people learn to be efficient on their job. But brethren, I'm asking you today, how efficient are you at church work? Of doing what is right, of telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. How much do we really know about God's Word? You know, Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
But he said, "Give it a study that you may have God's approval." And friends, this is what's important in life. So many times we have time for all the cares of this world and all the things that goes on in this world. We have time always for that, but no time for God. We're concerned about the physical man. Oh, kind of funny the other day, and I'm giving this too. But this girl was talking about her dad. Said, "Daddy, they eat breakfast." And say, "Look, Mom," said, "what we're going to have for lunch?" And I'm giving this too. And then lunch, he'd be thinking, and he'd say, "Oh, we're going to have supper." Says, "Me and Mama go off that way." And "time we come back home, Dad." Car, he said, "What'd y'all eat?" You know, and we think a lot about things like that, and a lot of things in life that we do. We have a lot of thought about that. And I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I'm just saying we do have thoughts about things in this world and what goes on in this world. But what about God's word? How much time do we think about His word? What did you get done today in your spiritual life? What did you do today when you worked for the Lord? We must not be so concerned about this physical man that we ignore our spiritual man. What is right and what we should do. Who do you prefer friends with? Do you prefer friends of the world? Do you enjoy having fellowship with the world? Or do you enjoy the fellowship of Christian people? In fact, in Romans 12 and 10 it says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know what he just said? He said to prefer your Christian brethren. Your Christian brethren, your sisters, your brethren in the Lord. He said to prefer them over the world. Who do you prefer? Who do you enjoy being around? Who are your friends? Do you sometimes find that you get things to be with the world and you find you have nothing in common with them? With the other people? You don't go where they go. You don't dress like they dress. You don't talk like they talk. You just have nothing in common with them. And then you find Christian people that you've got so much in common with. And you know why you've got them in common? Because of Jesus Christ. That's what you have in common with them. Because of your love and their love for the Lord. And it should be that way. A common brother is more concerned about how the world views his conduct than how God and his fellow Christians view it. If you're worried. You're worried about what the world thinks of you. Does the world accept me? This is nothing new. Years ago in John 12:42 it says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Who do you enjoy the praise of, God or man? Do you like to be served? Do we want to be served? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, Jesus talks here about what he came down here for and what he came down here to do. And he instructs us today to also do the same way in Matthew 20, beginning at verse 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be minister unto you, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus tells us we must be ministers.
We must be givers. We must be those that don't want to be waited on. We don't want to be served, but we want to serve others and not be served ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, Paul says here, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the seer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If we're worthy, if we want to gain knowledge of the world and not gain knowledge of God's word, we must not accept public opinion of what the Bible says. We must not accept what some people believe traditionally is what the word says. And we are worthy if we do. We must accept God's word. We must accept what he says. What about compromising preachers? Would you not agree that we're worthy if we want to hear things taught on that we enjoy? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judges quick and dead, who is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be excellent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, let me say this to you now. Paul told him something here that's not readily accepted today. He told him, he says, preach the word. Preach it home on every occasion. Welcome to unwelcome. In season or out of season, whatever it is. And he goes on to say in verse 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, handing each in ears. He said, now what they do, they bring in teachers that they want to hear, they tell them things that they will enjoy hearing. Okay, now we've been here. Okay? We've been there before. Well, we had a preacher that preached to us, and you know, he said, well, he just got all over me. What I'm doing. And it came out of the Bible. And I've had people, and you have them too, I've had people that preach to me, preachers preach to me. And you know, it's just kind of a generic. I mean, you can preach it anywhere. Anybody would agree with it. But what things does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? Have we gotten to the point where we want to have our ears scratched, so to speak? When we don't want to hear the truth. He goes on to say, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned on the table. Now, friends, we are worthy, let me tell you this, we are worthy if we are that way. If we want to have those things that are pleasing to us, and we don't care what the Bible says. Friends, one thing that we're faced today with, and I think we're going to be faced more and more with that today, in our world that we live in, is divorce and remarriage. Now, this is something to tear our church up. You've seen it. I've seen it. We know about it. Our young people need to know. All of our people need to know. That when you marry, it is for death to you, till death do you part. It is a bond. The Lord is bound to the devil. And we must be that way. We must live that way. We must remember that. We must teach that. Because that's what the Bible teaches. We can't just take our own way. We can't just say, well, you know, maybe the Lord is going to make an excuse. So he's not going to make an excuse for me, or for you, or for my kids, or for your kids, or my grandkids, or for your grandkids. He is not going to make an excuse. We must stick to what the Bible says. We must live by what the Bible says. We cannot love compromising preaching. We must realize that God has a way. His way is right. His way will always be right. You can sum it up under one general heading then about worthiness.
Whereas is the faith of crucify self and put Christ on the throne. Worthless. If you won't crucify yourself and put Christ on the throne as Lord of your life. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said this about himself. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is worth repeating. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And friends, let me commit you today, if you are of the world, Christ does not live in you. And Paul says, I'm dead, yet I'm living. And the old man Paul that once lived, no longer lives. Now, Christ lives in me. The life I now live, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, as I live this life in the flesh. And we've said several things this morning. Worldly-mindedness. To me, though, that is the key to all these things. If we get our mind right, if it's educated in the right way, we will follow suit. Have you ever had something that dominates your thinking? Can you think of something in your life that is now, that's in your past life, it dominated your thoughts? It was just something that was just on your mind almost constantly. What was it? Was it your girlfriend or your boyfriend? A lot of times that happens. You know about that. It might have been some subject. It might have been you was in school. It might have been something that you were studying. It might be your job. It might be making no money. But it dominates your mind. And everything kind of revolves around that. And friends, what we're talking about today is letting the Lord dominate your mind. Remember what I read to you in Peter? What he's saying, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird it up. Be careful what goes into your mind. And no longer in the old Bible it says, or the man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think, so are you. What dominates your thinking? What dominates your mind? If you're not careful, the world will get you. The world will get you. Don't let it happen. If you stand this morning and sang the song of invitation, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you to come today to be baptized, to be born again. Believing on Jesus Christ and facing publicly, you believe by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, repenting of your sins. You can be baptized today. Again, this is your past sin. If you are a member, if you've not lived as you should, you may have looked on this list today. You may have seen some things that if you've been doing, if you've been saying, because you've been going, you realize it was wrong. Repent of that today. Don't do that anymore. Confess today your faults. Ask for prayer and ask for forgiveness. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come to the front? As you stand and as we sing.